Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Outdoor Living Hour of Rosie on the House. Have a happy Memorial Day weekend.
Oh,
gotta,
my gosh,
gotta start
yes.
Every hour this morning with Memorial Day. It's important to remember and to reflect. So we'll talk some more in the 9 o'clock hour. We have some good thoughts on Memorial Day. But this hour, we have a special guest, Greg Peterson of the Urban Farm. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, thanks for having me again. I love this.
We love having you. I think it's been about once a month. And last time you were in, we talked chickens.
I know. I love the intro. Thank you very much.
Yes, walking into the garden. Let's get outside this morning. We also have you brought with you Kari Spencer of the Micro Farm Project. Good morning, Kari.
Good morning, Jennifer.
And you've been in with us before, too. And last time you were in, we talked goats.
We talked dairy goats.
Dairy goats. You guys are just a wealth of information. So thanks for coming in this morning. Greg, what do you want to talk about today?
Oh, let's talk about what do you do with all that stuff that you grow in your yard? This time of year, it's peppers and tomatoes and apricots and apples and peaches. It's like, what do we do with it all?
Don't want it to go to waste after all that work and investment of time.
Right. And Kari does a lot of talking about this. It's really important to actually have a plan.
Plan.
Before this stuff arrives.
Good idea.
Because I can't tell you how many times over the past, 20 plus years at the Urban Farm, it's like I get all this bounty and it's like I didn't have a plan.
And then you're trying to give it to your coworkers and your neighbors and they've got some maybe already.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then, you know you're really in trouble when they no longer answer the door when you knock, right?
You leave it on the door and run.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So what are some tips for?
First segment today.
Okay.
All about canning.
All right.
So, and the second segment, we're going to talk about pickling and fermenting.
Okay.
The third segment, we've got dehydrating. And the fourth segment, we're going to talk about freezing and that kind of stuff. So canning is actually a really easy process.
Are you serious?
It is. And there are two ways to can.
Okay.
Yeah. There is water bath canning that anybody can do with not a whole lot of equipment. Mm-hmm. And there's pressure canning, which you actually need a pressure canner for. Not a pressure cooker, but a pressure canner. They're two different things.
Yep.
And you can can a whole lot more with a pressure canner than you can with a water bath canner.
By more, you mean more variety.
More varieties, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Water bath canners are for high acid foods, things that have a pH of less than 4.6.
Such as
citrus. So making marmalades and things like that with citrus, canning tomatoes, although some tomatoes we add a little bit of vinegar to just to make sure, canning pickles and things like that that have a lot of acid. Those can be done really simply just in boiling water in a water bath canner.
And what that looks like is, those big, I have an aluminum one, they're these monster tub pots. And you just start boiling water in it, and then there's these nice, I call them canning tweezers, that you just lower the canning jars into the boiling water. Actually, you start it when they're not boiling.
And those kettles actually have an insert that holds the jars. Do you use that?
Oh, yeah.
You can buy those.
Yeah, you can definitely get those.
We do some canning way with the water bath, and it's usually, we're down to just doing the prickly pear. So in the fall, we harvest our prickly pear, we juice it, and then we water bathe it. And, we do different things, different recipes, but that's the extent of our canning these days. But when you buy those, where do you find those? Like at Walmart, hardware stores?
Hardware stores. I always love walking into a hardware store, like our buddy's Barry's down here on 12th Street. Mm-hmm. And, they have a whole canning section.
Yeah.
It's like, booyah. Yeah.
I love buying mason jars, new fresh mason jars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we've talked about what kind of things you can put in there.
Right.
Okay.
So then there's pressure canning. And I actually prefer pressure canning.
It sounds so scary.
That's what, I said to Kari the other day, it's like, why doesn't everybody use a pressure canner?
Well, they used to be a little bit more dangerous than they are today. If you buy a new pressure canner that was made in the last decade or so, they're very safe. And a lot of them are digital. So you don't really have a whole lot of guesswork, which there was a little bit of guesswork before. So if you can get a digital pressure canner, it's a great investment, and we do canning all the time. In fact, I brought in today some chicken that we actually canned.
Oh, wow.
I found a whole bunch of organic chicken on sale, and so I canned it up instead of sticking in the freezer because my freezer was full.
Full, yeah.
Yeah, and so I can keep that chicken on the shelf without using any refrigeration. And you cannot do that with a water bath canner. You have to have a pressure canner.
And why is that? Because the heat is that much more intense?
The heat in a water bath canner does not get high enough to kill the botulism organism that can make people sick. Yeah. And in low acid or in, high acid foods, we don't have to worry about the botulism organism. But in something that is alkaline, like meats, then we do need to make sure we kill that botulism.
What else besides meats needs to go in that pressure cooker?
I can a lot of veggies. Yeah. In the beans and corn and things like that in the pressure canner.
You couldn't do those in a water bath? Or it's better, it's still just one of those things better in?
Yeah, that's really the case. You want to be safe here.
Yeah.
Definitely want to be safe. And for me, the scary part is actually canning something and have it not be done right.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the lesson, is just do it right in the first place. And that's why I go with the pressure canner.
Can I ask you about that pressure canner?
Sure.
So my mom scared me to death of those as a kid. Those, mm-hmm. They were like this bomb sitting on the stove. Stay out of the room, you know. So, and then I started going to Char's, Bosch Kitchen Center down in Mesa. And I bought a small little canner for, it's called an empty nester. Get it? So, but I still am a little afraid of it, but it's just great. But I still have to stand there and release the pressure. It has a little indicator when the pressure is too high and you release it.
Oh.
Explain to me what it looks like when you use that pressure cooker. Are you having to stand right there? Do you set a timer and go do something else?
My electronic one, I can just walk away from it. Yes. But if I need to open it, for some reason, then you do have to use that pressure release button, and the steam comes pouring out. So you can't be standing right over it. You have to just push the button with one little finger and stand back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So you are talking pressurized hot water.
Right.
So it gets the temperature inside the pressure canner gets hotter. And so you just have to be cognizant of that. Make sure that you're being appropriate about that. My pressure canner is an old style canner. It's not digital, and it's got a little metal thing that sits on top of the air pressure relief valve. Mm-hmm. It says 5, 10, and 15 pounds. And so when it gets to 10 pounds, if it's on the 10-pound setting, it just, you know, lets off some steam.
By itself. And this is one you would just put on a stovetop because it's not electric or anything.
Exactly.
It's just an old
one. Sits on a stovetop. So yours doesn't go on a stovetop, the digital one?
It does not go
on
electric,
a stovetop. It's electric, she said. So you plug it in?
I just plug it in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, sounds pretty fancy.
Much easier.
Well, I'm living 20 years ago.
Speaking of 20 years ago, if you're using old canning recipes,
yes,
they're great. I love vintage recipes.
Yep.
But you really need to look at them carefully and make sure that the follow the latest USDA guidelines for safety. And if you do that, then canning is very, very safe for eating. And you can find out those guidelines at the National Center for Home Food Preservation, which is at nchfp.uga.edu.
I'll put those up on Facebook in a little bit. That's cool. A great. That kind of, when I read that, I thought, what does that mean if I pull out this old canning book I have in my cupboard from 1982, right? So I can't just pick it up and assume I can have the right. Have you got? You brought an old one too.
I got an old one too. It's my old Stocking Up, you know, by Rodale Press.
Okay.
But 1977.
So do you cross reference it with the
Cross references. Mm-hmm. Absolutely cross references.
So there's probably been changes in length of time and temperature and.
Yeah, you just want to make sure you're up to date on that. And you know, I have there's the ball canning jars is still around. There's a real nice. They do a yearly can off around the country, and they broadcast it live. It's really cool.
Have you participated?
We did some podcasts with them last year.
Oh, fun.
I told them this year that I wanted to be one of the on-air canners, so we'll see what happens.
Well, we'll have to put a little link on Facebook if you do that. It sounds like fun.
There you go.
And canning, you know, so maybe I'm old school in this. Maybe it's something you need to update me on, but when you take those jars out of the water bath, you wait for that little pop, and the center of the lid, there's two pieces to the lid, the top and then the ring.
Yep.
And that center piece should go down.
It sucks
in. You should
in.
Hear it pop.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
So
best
is that still
sound
the,
when
is that the, I know. Pop,
oh,
pop, pop,
yep,
pop.
Yep, exactly.
So is it still the same?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what do you do with any of them that don't pop?
If they don't pop, I will either put them back in the canner and reprocess them, or I'll just stick them in the fridge, and those are the ones I eat first. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So people shouldn't be afraid of canning. It's, you know, it's you just got to go through the steps. So you go through the steps, and, you know, voila, you have canned stuff. In fact, I actually learned how to can in 1978. I was talking to a friend of mine. You know, I was 17, 18 then, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said, man, I really need to know how to can, because I had planted some of my first peach trees here in the valley back
then. So this is a passion that started very young for you.
Oh, yeah. I had all these peaches, and, you know, I didn't know what to do with them. So Tim said, my mom will teach you how to can. So I learned from Tim's mom how to, I can't even remember her name, except she was Tim's mom.
I don't know many 18-year-olds who know how to can, you know, right? So you've continued. Have you been doing it all this time then?
Well, you know, and here's what I tell people all the time, that there's the only place this notion of lack lives is between our ears. Because when I look out at the abundance that lives in my yard, I mean, right now I'm looking at probably 400 pounds of apples.
Oh, overload. So what are you going to do? I guess we'll talk about that through the course of the morning. We can apply those apples probably to each segment here, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We can.
So you don't have to eat it all the same way.
Applesauce.
Applesauce? Okay, yeah, all right. So next segment, we're going to come back. We've kind of covered the canning, mm-hmm. preserving by a pressure cooker or water bath.
Yep.
We've told you where to find the current regulations.
Yep.
So we're going to get you all plugged in on that. Mm-hmm. And we're going to come back and talk about pickling and fermenting.
Yes.
That's really kind of the new up-and-coming.
It really is.
But it's also back to old. I mean, it's an old thing that has come back around again.
There's a lot of people out there that are doing it.